And away we go, Scuttlebucks! Off of a win, always more fun, right? Welcome in. I'm Jeff, that's Tom. Bucks get a big win in a weird way, and it was sort of a mess of a game, but a win is a win is a win, and kind of the highs and lows of this Buck team were on display. You know, the things you love and some of the things that you absolutely are getting concerned about, all of it was there. As we get started, let's first mention that we'd like to thank our friends at Bill Curry Ford. As always, maybe you got your eye on a new Ford truck. Maybe you want out of your lease. Reach out directly to Bill Curry Ford GM Sean Sullivan. He's there to help you. He will help you personally, by the way. You can find his email right there at BillCurryFord.com. Or you can just swing on past the showroom, which is beautiful. Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Huge Bucks fans at Bill Curry Ford, and a lot of Bucks players and coaches go there. I mention it often on the Scuttlebucks, but Ali Marpet, who we hope to have back, ready to roll this upcoming game, it does look promising. Vita Vea, who lost a tooth over the weekend, is also a customer. Bill Curry Ford has nationwide lifetime warranties on new and used vehicles. And remember, GM Sean Sullivan will assist you personally. Just ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount, BillCurryFord.com. All right, 38-31. A day for the ages for Leonard Fournette as he scores four times. Tom, it's weird. It's hard to complain about a win on the road against an Indianapolis Colts team that I think is going to be a problem moving forward, despite what their record is at 500 right now. But the Bucks, the Bucks are a strange bird right now on the road. They're a strange bird in general in that they get off to slow starts and they look completely off schedule, off out of rhythm. There's a faraway look in Tom Brady's eyes half the time to start these games that has me concerned, like this uncertain. Did you notice it? He didn't look right all. I mean, first of all, his throws early in the game were off, and you know, you never really know unless you're in on the headset with the play call and you're there at practice every day watching them rep it. You don't know in particular who's at fault. You know, people like to pretend that they do. You don't always know, especially if it's a sit-down in a zone. But these early game blunders where they're out of rhythm, they turn the ball over, they start slow, I just can't put my finger on why this continues to happen, because it's really maddening to watch, and the Bucks are always having to overcome it.
Well, yeah, on the road especially. You know, because Monday night they started out like gangbusters.
Well, that's why I should. Yeah, the caveat being on the road, right? That is correct. But it's happened a lot.
Yeah. Well, he and 13 just aren't on the same page.
No,
often.
Hits him right in the hands. He's off staring at the moon.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is.
What are we doing here? Right. Turn around, man.
Understand the situation of what? Yeah.
By the way, it was interesting. I love the team that called the game. I think it's one of the best in the NFL. But they initially got that completely wrong. When the play-by-play announcer said, oh, that's not even close. I'm like, it hit him in the hands. He's staring at the bench.
Yeah.
He's catching that in stride.
Yeah, the good news is this time they do rebound and they damn near score 40 points in the game.
A little fortunate. There's a muff punt in there. There's ridiculous interception in there. There's a fumble in there.
There is. Well, listen, Carson Wentz is who he is. And at some point in the second half, you're like, is he going to continue to do what he's done? Like, is this just the day where Jonathan Taylor is not even a factor and it's Carson Wentz who's going to carry the Colts to the promised land? And thankfully for us, the strip sack happened. That's a huge play in the game.
Biggest play of the game.
Looking back on it, I rewatched the highlights, the extended highlights this morning. That first drive, holding them to three, is a huge moment for the Bucks as well.
Yeah.
Because you think about the implications as the game goes down to the wire, that's a huge 4 points that are not on the board.
Red zone effective, got to the quarterback. The Colts tried to outthink the room. I don't know if it was 15 or 16 straight passes at one point in the second half. What are you doing? That's not who you are. It leads to the strip sack.
It does. I agreed with it on principle in the beginning, though, because we had an early answer for the run.
Of course we did.
And then Dean goes down, and you got Desir, who they can pick on all day. That's great that he has the pick at the end, but come on, what are we doing? He's given 15-yard cushions for third and fives.
I also blame that on, in general, there is a weakness in Todd Bowles' scheme, and he loves to do this. This drives me nuts.
Yes, they will bang their head against the wall over and over again when it's clear that a quarterback has the timing with his receivers. He understands that he's got to get rid of the ball quickly, and they prove to you that the blitz doesn't work We hardly ever drop 7 or drop 8 in those circumstances. We continue to bring pressures when there are easy reads for the quarterback, for Doyle, for T.Y. Hilton,
all day long,
for whoever.
And you had Nelson in coverage on Doyle on a touchdown. Stop doing that. Stop being dumbasses about this. He's too – what are we doing?
They do that with Pierre Paul.
Well,
they do
stupid.
It with Tryon. Yeah.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. And listen, I'm just a guy talking about football. He's an elite coach, Todd Bowles. It's insane. It never works.
Yeah.
It never works.
Note that in one key circumstance in this game, we only rushed 3. And I was like, hey, you know what? You do pay a lot of money for a Pierre Paul and for a Shaq Barrett to be able to generate pressure without help. So sometimes you got to let those guys eat on their own.
Yeah, in particular.
Rather than committing 5, it's an easy pre-snap read because, listen, Wright coaches well. Carson Wentz clearly understands that scheme.
Oh,
so
they
knows
hit
where
us
to go
on third
based
and
upon
long
the pressures.
So many times in this game because of dumbassery.
Yes.
It was maddening.
It felt like Lovie Smith was back.
Yes, it did, and that's the ultimate insult. It's hard to fathom why they continue to do what they did.
But that's why I thought passing in general was an okay solution. Now, as the second half wore on and there's this discovery drive for Jonathan Taylor, I think two things probably conspire there. Devin White
tired.
Left the game.
Yeah.
You know, he came back, but he's clearly not 100%, but he had left the game. And then Vita, he only played 30 snaps, so they saw, well, it makes a big difference when 50 is not
That's
in there.
That's the point to make there. I think going back, the reason Frank Reich fell in love with throwing the football, A, it was working, B, the first 6 or 7 carries for Taylor, they had 12 carries in the first half, so they didn't completely abandon it. They had 12 in the first half for nothing. They got 12 carries, like 20 yards total. So he was beating his head against the wall and said, we can throw on these guys, especially if they're going to give us that kind of a cushion on third down. And just
right.
I mean, it was unreal. But at some point, you have to realize if you're going to throw it 15, 16, 17 times in a row, and there were a lot of near misses on those rushes, you're going to pay the piper. And they did. That's the Shaq Barrett play. Changes the entire game. You're able to cut it. By the way, a big third down conversion there by Gronk, who was a beast in this game once again. He's a
vintage.
If you don't have him, you don't win this game, period. If you don't have him last year, you may not win the Super Bowl, and you certainly have no chance to win it this year without him. It is clear that guy is their most important player.
Right, yeah, the crazy thing to
besides
me,
Brady.
And you know, we score at home. We just do, period. Doesn't matter who's there, we're going to score. So I say this with that caveat. But that the offense struggles with Chris Godwin, with Mike Evans, and you don't have Gronk or you don't have Antonio Brown, like, what is that?
It's bizarre.
That's crazy to me.
By the way.
Because what you're telling me this offseason is those guys are important, but they're not critical.
They're expendable.
Correct.
Well, thanks for playing, Chris Godwin. Was he there? There was one catch on the sideline for the third down, and that was the only play of the game he made. He had the fumble early, which, Jesus, man. Really didn't make a difference, not in, as a receiver, not as receiving the football.
Right, yeah. I guess the frustrating thing I'm getting at, when you're talking about an offense that's as potentially lethal as the Bucs, one that produces at home against anybody,
mm-hmm.
got you.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it have to include a Gronk or an Antonio Brown,
like,
to be able to be this next level thing?
Otherworldly, yeah.
You already have. You're off to a great start. And Leonard Fournette has turned into a very nice piece himself. And we'll wonder out loud now, do you have to re-sign that guy? And for what?
Apparently. I mean, he's a beast.
Yeah.
And he runs like a man. He catches the ball consistently out of the backfield. He knows what they're trying. See, this gets back to one thing and one thing only, in my opinion, and it answers your question that you just asked. Trust. He trusts Antonio Brown when he's out there more than anybody else on the field besides Gronk, who he trusts implicitly and should. He's the greatest tight end in the history of the game. And he trusts Leonard Fournette quite clearly. He loves him. And so
I wonder if it was the fourth down catch at Lambeau.
It might have been. It was a tough
play.
Because
that thing was a missile.
It was a tough play, and he made the play. But whatever it is, that guy makes plays, and he runs hard, and he and you said it last week on the Scott of Bucks, there's at least one, but usually 2 or 3 runs in a game where that dude embarrasses somebody. Just runs. He runs like a man again.
Between him and Gronk yesterday, there were about 7 instances.
It's like 2016, 2017 Fournette, like the guy that you saw when he first came out. You're like, ooh.
Yeah, that was actually to your point about Kevin Burkhardt, who was the play-by-play guy yesterday, on the final touchdown. That was a great call because, like, this guy's going for a ride. Like, in live speed, like, you got no chance when he's up to that speed.
Well, once he breaks free from the shirt tackle, and you're like, I would hate to be that safety or that corner. I mean, those guys weren't fighting hard to get off that block downfield. They're kind of like, well,
we'll just roll on into the end zone here because I'm not
going for a ride,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's an ugly situation. But going back to what we're talking about here with the frustrating aspects of this game, they get off to a terribly slow start. They can't get off the field on third down because of what we're trying to do, which is maddening. I'll say it again. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul's got to get healthy. Something's wrong. He's not playing well, period. He just isn't. And he doesn't really factor into the games. It's weird to watch. He just doesn't factor into the games. Now, Shaq Barrett's a beast and continues to be and wreaks havoc. And Sue played well, as we continue to see. I mean, that's a dude that'll split a double team. That's a guy that moves a pile. We know when Vita Vea is right, he's the best run stopper in the game, and he also crushes people from the inside.
So. You know, it's interesting. I was looking at the grades that came out, and Winfield is our second highest graded player, and I take issue with that because I think the roasting over the top on the long touchdown, that's on him. You've got a corner passing off to Winfield, and I don't know where the hell he's looking because it's what's covered over the middle. The underneath in route is already you got a guy there.
Yeah.
It's on 31. A couple of bad plays in the red zone. He needs to tighten up a little bit.
Tackles better than anybody else on that defense, though, when he comes up. I mean, we didn't tackle well as a team yesterday.
Correct.
But he tackles.
He
well.
Does.
He tackles
when he's
well.
There. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not going to take too much issue with him. There are other guys. Like, listen, Sean Murphy Bunting didn't play well yesterday. There are a lot of guys. Also, are we allowed to make a tackle without getting hurt? Anybody in that secondary make a tackle without getting hurt ever? Listen, I'm sorry. I don't want to be the guy that questions other people's pain. But Jesus, every time somebody makes a tackle, it's like, oh, cart him off. It is that's just frustration talking.
And that's also the league this year. Look around.
It's crazy.
Crazy how many guys are going down.
Yeah, man. We but I think I want to go back to one thing over and over again. When we have defensive linemen dropping into coverage, I just want to walk away from the TV. We do it all the time. It's dumb. It doesn't work. I never see them make a play in coverage ever. Last year, Pierre-Paul did a couple times, but you don't see it anywhere else. Why is Nelson covering it? What are we doing?
Fire zone, baby. Somebody's got to drop.
Well, it doesn't work, Tom. You can call it. I don't care that we can identify what they're doing. It doesn't work ever. And that's why every time we do it, you're like, okay, well, this is a big play. And it happens to be a greater percentage of the time than not, for sure. And it also doesn't produce anything. So that's the other problem. It's like if you got a tipped pass, if you had something that you could fall back on, you'd feel better. Look, the win, I know we're coming out the box complaining. That's on me. I'm just watching a very inconsistent football team that has so much room to improve, and maybe that's the best thing to say, is that they got a win against what I think is a good football team, and they didn't play their best game. Now, they got helped out. I mean, you know, obviously we know up here covering this Florida State team what it's like to have a guy who drops a punt, changes the game. I mean, kind of got to catch that one. Nyheim Hines is basically gifting the game to the Bucs, and we only got three out of that, but it was a big three because it maintained the lead after the Colts went down and scored.
Yeah, I think the positive things are you're on a short week. You're against a team that building is buzzing. And there was a fair amount of red in there yesterday, but that building is buzzing because they're going to run down the Titans. That's what they're thinking. And they're scoreboard watching, and they're seeing what's going on in New England, that the Patriots are imposing their will on Tennessee, a banged-up Titans group. So they're thinking AFC South Division Championship in the midst of the 3 hours yesterday. That's what you're dealing with in the building. Beyond that, the Colts just got done throttling Buffalo.
Right.
I mean, in an unholy way, on the road. And they had more time to prepare for this game. So you factor in the context clues of short week for the Bucs, not for the opponent. The opponent is running down. They are the hunter. They're trying to run down a division. The Bucs are mending wounds and going on the road, and they've got a mental block about how to play on the road. And you conquer all those things and come away with
a
win.
That's the right angle. You're right.
Well, it's a great feather in your cap if you have to go on the road again in the playoffs, because now you've got last year's run, albeit in COVID situations where the atmospheres weren't as, you know, as they would be.
Yeah, we need somebody to...
But you combine that with a performance against the Colts, that's a lot of positive thoughts in your head as you're preparing to go on the road in the playoffs if that's what we have to do.
Without question, and you're always going to think, even though he's looked mortal at times this year, especially on the road, you're always going to feel good that Tom Brady is going to come in and have confidence about winning any playoff game. I don't care if it's played on the moon. So, you know, he believes that, and so I think that he exudes that, and people probably feed off that, although it certainly looked weird early in this game. Again, I could be reading too much into body language and what his eyes seem to be telling me, but it was just a strange deal there. By the way, one thing to note here that we mentioned it last week on the Scuttlebucks, and I should mention it again here. For all the guys that I worry about or I think aren't playing well or I assess that I think this guy can be better or has to be better, man, I like Mike Edwards. He continues to make plays, man. Yes. That dude's a player.
Yeah.
I touched on it last week, but the more I watch him, I'm like, that dude can play.
He's reliable. Yeah. He's reliable. Every group has to have somebody who can come off the bench and really give you good reps.
He's
on
good
either
player.
Side of the ball. If you want to be a championship team, you've got to have a player like Mike Edwards, and not to be overlooked, he kind of made the tackle on the kick return.
Oh, he saved us. Makes the tackle on the kick return, which is egregious yet again that we're in that position that happened.
Yeah, but can we stop returning kicks too? Unless the one time we took the touchback was before half.
Yeah.
That's the one time you returned it.
You got to take it back.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. So that was maddening. Edwards does make the game saving, or at least, I didn't want to go to overtime. So kind of a game saving tackle there on the sidelines to track him down with the angle. He also created a turnover with the ball punched out on the play. So he's a plus player. That's all I'm saying. And the more he plays, the more I'm like, okay, he needs to be out there more. I like that guy. He's slot corner, really good. He plays well. So at the end of the day, I do think getting that win goes a long way now. And again, we'll see what that Bills game is going to be because they're a weird team. They're hit and miss. And when they're really good, they're really good. When they're really bad, they get blown up by the Colts at home. So we'll see what they are. But the rest of it, Carolina is awful. I've been saying it for weeks. They just proved it again. They don't have a quarterback, so I don't worry about them. The Falcons are terrible. I don't worry about them. There's nobody we need to worry about within this division. The Saints have fallen apart since James Winston got hurt. They have the Bucs now are just going to fight like hell with an advantageous schedule to win home field because I don't want to go to Lambeau with fans, and I don't want to go to Lambeau with fans with the way that Aaron Rodgers is currently
playing. Yeah, that was an impressive showing in the 4 o'clock window yesterday. For us and for our account this week, we go on the road. 1 o'clock kick in Atlanta, taking on the Falcons. This is one of those, and we'll talk about it on Friday. We'll break it down with Scuttlebucks then.
Yeah.
The opening line was 11.5, depending upon where you get it. You want to see first quarter focus. It's all about that. It's are you prepared? This was the site, this building last year was the site of the halftime talk in which they said, screw it, we're going downtown with every throw. We've got all these damn weapons. What are we waiting for?
And we're throwing on first down,
let's
finally
flip the script here. Right. But it was enough of the dink and dunk nonsense. Let's go take the shots. We have the weapons. Why wouldn't you do it right now? And that's what changed the offense and put it in a position to where, it hummed towards the end of the year into the playoffs and we won the Super Bowl. Come back here. Road woes. Do we actually get off the schneid a full week of preparation? We'll see what this weekend looks like. But I'm watching that first quarter of the game on Saturday really closely to see, do we resemble our home selves when we're on the road?
Antonio Brown may be back for this game. Bad news for everybody else. They should have gotten to the Bucs to a greater degree.
Yep.
We're 8-3.
And the clock on Carlton Davis has begun the 21 days before he has to be activated, so that's good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. You got to get healthy, obviously. It was good to watch this team operate a little bit more efficiency, a lot more efficiently, obviously, with what Gronk brings to the table. We could spend an hour on this show not talking about him as a receiver, but only as a blocker. Every freaking run that Fournette has that is of any great value or chunk play is because Gronk does something amazing.
Yep. Yeah, and one thing we didn't mention, and we got to sign off here before we do the Friday thing, but with Allie out and then Stinney getting hurt, you get good contributions. Okay, all right. It wasn't
Leverett,
a total tire fire Leverett in the interior
in
of the line.
Yeah. Not great in pass pro, but
but it's all right.
Yeah,
you got away with it.
You did.
It's just like the road game last year against Washington. My man Teddy Larson came in, gave up one bad play, but it's all right.
Yeah,
we did enough to win.
You got by. It worked out well. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, as always, and to JoeBucksFan.com. And to all of you, we'll be back with you on Friday. Look forward to talking about the Bucks. Be good.